660-2910. WABF, good morning. It is 822 and 43 degrees in downtown Fairhope as we welcome via telephone Congressman Jerry Carl. Good morning, sir.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. So the work never stops. It's a federal holiday, and you are on the phone with me, and you're in the airport. What's going on with you today?
I'm trying to travel back to D.C. I've got an early day tomorrow with all the problems with traveling and the weather. I thought I'd try to get ahead of it, maybe get in tonight. Maybe clean my apartment up. I'm not real sure. It depends on what kind of mood I'm in. I apologize in advance for all the noise in the background. They're beginning to board the plane, but I'm certainly in no hurry to get on there.
Well, if you need to go, sir, at any time, we certainly understand. Let's start with what seems to be one of the biggest items in the news. Well, a couple of things. The voter, I almost said the voter fraud bill. That might be what you call it.
Sounds better.
That's what Trump calls it. And explain to us this filibuster issue and why that's so important.
Well, the filibuster was a process put in to keep basically one party from controlling everything. So, and it's the situation we're in right now where it's 50-50. The Democrats, to get anything done, they have to persuade at least 10 Republicans to vote along with them, and that's what it was designed for. So, you know, it could be very bipartisan and where they'll have to work together. Now, what the Democrats want to do, after on record several times over the years, wanting to stop that and be able to take it with 51 votes, you know, now they're trying to switch it back. I don't think they're going to get enough support for it. I think with everything going on with the Democrat Party right now is negative, as everything is going for them. They're really going to shoot themselves in the foot if they push this issue, you know, just too much and too far.
Well, we have two Democrats.
The American people want it fair. We all do. You know, we do. We want it fair. We want it equal. There's got to be a check and a balance system, and that's basically what this program does. I keep calling mandate. That's what this does, is it's a check and balance system.
And with the two Democrats, I don't recall their name at the moment, that have clearly stated they're not voting for either the Build Back Better or the voter fraud bill, and this filibuster situation, it seems like we may prevail on that, and they may fail. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's Manchin and Sinema. And I always hold my breath on both of them. They've been wonderful for us. Thank God for them. Don't misread what I'm saying. But it's not over till it's over in Washington. And they're not going to let these pass with just one bill. They'll bring them back and try to repaint them. We had a bill passed through the House last week. We tried to stop. It was on NASA. It was a real simple bill, and basically we reassured NASA whatever buildings or properties that they're renting now are renting out, and we'll be good for another year. Well, the way it was set up, and please don't ask me to explain it because I don't understand it, but the Senate sent it back to us, and by them sending it back to us, that allows that when we sent it, and it was approved, it was down the line. Republicans were against it. Democrats were for it. The Republicans were against it. But we knew what they were going to do because they'd already told us they're going to send that bill. It's just a shell now. They'll send it to the Senate, and the Senate will try to stuff it with all of their changes to the voting rules and regulations. So will it pass? I don't think that's going to pass either. But they're trying everything they can to change the voting laws, you know, and they keep using, I mean, look at President Biden. He goes to Georgia last week, and I had the Georgia rep with me while he was there. I was in Washington, and I was actually with the Georgia rep, by the way, having to wear a Georgia shirt because Alabama lost. But he pointed out to me in the last 4 and 5 major elections in the state of Georgia, there's been 3.5 million people to vote. 3.5 million. This last election in 2020, there were 4.5 million voters. Somebody explain to the folks in Georgia how they were kept from voting when it was almost, what's that, roughly 22% more people voted in that election than any election in the past. So all these things you hear, and I mean, they just keep beating these drums, telling us, you know, that there's voter fraud and we're keeping people from voting. And as long as they say it loud enough, they think people are going to believe it.
They certainly do. President Trump at his.
I don't have a problem showing my ID to get on an airplane. I certainly don't mind showing my ID to get to vote.
You have to show an ID to do almost any transaction these days. Voting should certainly be a top priority.
In the restaurants in D.C., we have to show our ID plus our health card,
mm-hmm.
vaccine card.
Getting back to voter fraud, election fraud, President Trump said at his rally in Arizona over the weekend that more evidence was coming out and that they're going to be filing suits. Do you see... Can you actually envision the possibility of that election being overturned, or what can be done by Republicans as more and more evidence comes out clearly that there was voter fraud, as we see now?
Well, with the Democrats in control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, I doubt you're going to see it happen there. It may change when... If we take the House back over in 2022 and take the Senate over in 2022, you may see some changes then, but you won't see them bring it up between now and then. I do not know what the president's talking about. He's obviously got insight to more information on these elections than I do, just because of where he's at and who he is. But we'll just have to wait and see on that. You know, see where it goes. You know, we've got to have fair elections. I mean, if we don't have fair elections, you know, we're going to become a Venezuela. And you go to the grocery store right now, and you look at the prices of fuel, and you look at the prices of all the economy, the direction it's going. I feel like we're in Venezuela sometimes.
We're speaking with Congressman Jerry Carl, who is waiting on a flight in the airport. Sir, please let us know when you have to, when you need to get off the phone.
I will. I'm in good shape right now.
Okay. And when she is done in the background, I want to fill us in on the hearings they're having for the January 6th incident and people sitting in jail for misdemeanors. And what is your situation, your opinion on that?
Well, obviously, the Republican Party doesn't have any what we consider credible people sitting on that committee. So we're not participating in that committee. We've done, not myself, but a couple of committees have put some stuff together that they have not reviewed with us yet on January the 6th. I mean, I was there. I saw how it kind of progressed and got away. It was a bad day for America, but it's just like a rock concert. You've got everybody pushed outside, and all of a sudden they open a door, and people just automatically start flooding in that door. When you start tearing stuff up, you start, tearing stuff up there on the floor. So there's no call for that. And, you know, we've got to find out who those bad players are. But it's just so overplayed by the Democrat Party. I mean, it is just drama, drama, drama by
those
folks.
We watched.
The whole feels that way. It's just all about drama.
We watched police cars being burned and blown up. We watched police stations being attacked. We watched entire city blocks being taken over and burned, pilfered, and looted. And that, the Black Lives Matter, that did not. There was no repercussion for that kind of behavior. But yet.
No, they don't want to talk about that. You know, that really gets played down. And, of course, if we talk about it, we're racist. So, you know, look, I'm just trying to get a job done up there.
How can you? I mean, what is your blood pressure? I think I would be just ballistic if I were in your place, having to constantly deal with a brick wall that you can't get through.
I've had to learn what to worry about and what not to worry about. And if I can't change it, if I can't affect it, I don't worry about it. I move on. I spend my time and my energy on something else.
Oh, a good answer. Something else could be getting more federal funding for the Mobile Bay Bridge project. I'm hearing more of that idea lately, and I've been wondering for the past couple of years, why not more federal dollars for an interstate that affects the entire United States?
And I agree, and I've got my ears and my eyes open, but it doesn't work that way. The federal government sends state money year-round. They're constantly sending money in for repair and fixing of bridges and roads. So if the state gets it, obviously they can use it in other places. But the state, the federal government, is paying their what we consider their share. It just doesn't show up in big lump sums. That $125 million that Shelby got, Senator Shelby got, Mobile for that bridge is unheard of. That's a lot of money at one time from the federal government. Now with this infrastructure package, we're going to see, I don't anticipate seeing anything from that. They're going to spend most of that money in blue cities and blue states, and we just don't anticipate seeing anything. We're going to get the repercussions from the election. Elections do have consequences.
So many Americans are frustrated. What can we do?
You know, right now we're going in 2022, and I want, my personal opinion, I want everybody's focus on taking the House back and taking the Senate back. You've got friends in Georgia, you've got friends outside the state of Alabama. Alabama, we live in a bowl, a fish bowl. I mean, we're protected from a lot of this stuff because we're so heavy Republican, and I'm proud of that, very proud of that. But you're going to see myself, for example, if I do not draw a candidate that will be running against me in this 2022 election, you'll see me spending all my free time outside my district, outside Alabama, trying to get more Republicans elected in Democrat districts. And we've got to take some strong numbers. We've got to. Mm-hmm. We've got to have strong enough numbers in the House and the Senate that we can hold the president back and just tie his ankles together for the next 2 years and move forwards. And hopefully we'll get, everybody keeps asking, is Trump running? I have no idea. This weekend certainly looked pretty positive. But, hopefully we're going to get us a Republican president in 2024.
And, Congressman, what are you focusing on that won't make your blood boil, that we can at least take away with some positivity?
There's so many things happening in Mobile and in the state of Alabama, Baldwin County. I mean, electric vehicles, for example, I've really been focused on those. It's the wave that's coming, whether we like it or not. I'm learning a lot about the torque. I'm learning a lot about the refilling, the refueling. I mean, I'm trying to learn as much as I can. And in that process, I found six companies in Mobile, in Alabama that actually are making those vehicles. I found a new mine that's getting started in Coosa County. It's going to be mining one of the key ingredients in all the batteries, that the only place to get it is from China. Well, that said, I'm looking at all the technology from NASA, from Auburn, from Tuscaloosa, which I call the triangle up there, in electric vehicles. I mean, Alabama is poised to be the leader in the electric vehicle market. Now, the downside to it is all the money or tax incentives that's in Biden's bill is for union made cars only, which I just find very offensive. Does that mean we can write it where no union made cars can get tax incentives? I just find that very offensive as a taxpayer, period. So you're going to see me start fussing more about that, because I just think that's totally unfair. The Build Back Better money, road money, which is only 9% of $1.4 trillion, I think, is what it wound up being. Only about 9% of it's going towards an infrastructure program, which we kept telling everybody that. We talk about this and we talk about it. People think we're just trying to bash the other side, but we're trying to get everybody educated on what's coming. But it looks like that money will not be able to be spent with any companies that are non-union to build roads and bridges.
Wow.
Well, Alabama is a right-to-work state. And that's the reason we have so many companies like Mercedes-Benz and Airbus and Austell and all these companies move in here. Their pay scale are the same as union pay scales most of the time, but they like the right to work state, right to hire, the right to fire. And that's one of the attractions we've got. So we're being penalized for that by the Biden administration. They know what they're doing, but every dog has his day.
Well, hopefully there's a lot of electric charging stations for those vehicles being planned and funded.
There's a group out of Birmingham that's really been working with Alabama Power. They have some targeted stuff up and down I-65 that I'm familiar with. One car or one truck that I'm looking at, not necessarily to purchase, but I'm trying to focus on what a truck can do. This truck, I can go to Birmingham and back, for example, on one fuel cell. So that there are some limits. Now, my biggest fear is, does it take 4 hours to charge it? And they're telling me no. They're talking about 10 to 15 minutes if charging stations are set up right. And we'll see. I mean, technology in that is improving every day. We've got a truck being made in Alabama, and we've got, I'm talking about a semi-truck, it's all electric. And we also have buses that are made up in Anniston that are 100% electric. So I'm really getting into this electric thing because I feel like it's such a huge opportunity for the state of Alabama.
Right. Do you, however, see, if I understand it correctly, in 2035, all electric vehicles will be produced. Can Republicans change that once they get back in office?
Can they change it? I think the market will determine if it's ready by 2035. I think get the government out of it. Let the market determine it. I mean, I like some of the things I'm seeing. I still love my combustible engines, don't get me wrong, but I like some of the positive things we're seeing. I mean, look at Tesla. I mean, they're building electric semi-trucks that can haul 90,000 pounds, that can run like a Ferrari as far as speed. I mean, it's things just out of the box that we're not used to, that we don't associate with electricity. High torque and speed, those are two things I never would have thought I'd have heard from electric engine in an automobile and or a truck. So I think we got to let the market make the change, not the government.
Okay. How will...
Market may not want it at all.
Right. How will Mobilians and Baldwin Countyans be affected by what I understand is going to be some redrawn district lines? Or is your district...
That happens every 10 years. I know we got... the only real pushback I've heard is, I think Spanish Fork got drawn over into... Vivian Figure's state senate seat.
Right. Okay.
My house seat, I lost a little bit on the west side and a little bit on the north side, but it's nothing really that affects me or hurts my district in any way.
And what is your district encompass?
I'm sorry.
I apologize for interrupting. What area is your district encompassing now?
So right now we've got Washington County. We're losing our little bit of Clark County. We've got Monroe County. We've got Baldwin County, Escambia County.
Okay.
We lost us a little bit of Escambia County. So we're in good shape. I've heard most of the elected officials that I've had a chance to hear. Everyone's talking pretty positive about it. No one likes to lose anything, but it has to happen. We have to shuffle population around, make sure it's taken.
Yes, sir. I would ask you if there's anything else you want to mention before we run out of time, but you may be out of time at the airport.
I am. Let's jump in line here on my flight. You know, I just encourage everyone to stay positive. This country's been through much, much worse than this. We may have not lived through it in our age and our period, but you know, stay positive, stay focused. Let's make it through this next election. Let's be very vigilant in getting our family and friends out in other areas and other districts. Be positive.
Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate your time very much.
Thank you so much. And everyone be careful, and let's have a blessed 2022.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Congressman Jerry Carl joining us this morning on Community Contact. If you missed it or missed part of it, it will be posted later today at WABF 14.